I think that there's a happy balance between looking back and moving forward. I would say that's probably the overarching theme of the book, that it doesn't have to be all one way or the other.
That's Alyssa Friedland, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Alyssa Friedland is the author of four novels, and her work has been published in The Washington Post, McSweeney's, Pop Sugar, and New York Magazine, just to name a few. When she's not writing, she's teaching creative writing at Yale University. She joins us to talk about her latest novel, Last Summer at the Golden Hotel. Alyssa, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Well, tell us about sort of the genesis of this novel. Was there a particular inspiration for it?
This is my fourth novel, and I really enjoyed writing my third novel, which was a multi-generational family story. And I wanted to do that again, but I wanted it to be fresh. So my third novel, which was called The Floating Feldmans, centered on one family, three generations, and it took place on a cruise ship. And it received a really nice reception. And I felt like I struck a chord with all the different points of view. And so I wanted to stick with that for my next book, but also grow. So I decided to have two families that co-owned a business together, because that enabled me to write about family dynamics, but also layer in friendship and talk a lot about what it's like when two families are very close, because I think it can be a really beautiful thing, but I also think it's very complicated, especially when those two families co-own a business together and there's, you know, profits at stake and people, you know, who's going to take over and who's more the public face and who's more the leader. And so, you know, I end up thinking about this for nights and nights and staying up. And I'm like, I'm going to have these two families co-own a hotel. Where should the hotel be? And I think of all the different settings. And this is really when it's so fun to be an author, because like the world is your oyster. And I settled on the Catskills. There was just something about the Catskills. I've always loved the movie Dirty Dancing, which is set there. And there's just a lot of nostalgia there. And it made sense for a multi-generational story where I wanted to have generational conflict, that I would pick a place that was very meaningful to the older generation, but that the grandchildren are kind of like, this place is boring. There's nothing to do here. Also, the Catskills are very beautiful. So it was nice to have such a rich, beautiful setting.
So the book is Last Summer at the Golden Hotel. And the Golden Hotel, as you've pointed out in your introduction here, the Golden Hotel is symbolic in many ways. It represents the decline of the hotel, obviously, but also the decline of the Catskills as a vacation destination.
Yes. Which is the truth. I mean, that's definitely what happened in the area. It was like, there were once thousands of hotels and bungalow colonies, and now there are zero in the area. I shouldn't say that. There are zero of this type, which was like a particular resort in an area where families would come and spend weeks at a time. And the Catskills are having something of a revival now. I think there's a return to this sort of simpler type of vacation in nature. But the new hotels are actually cropping up in a bit of a, I mean, the Catskills are very big geographically, and they're cropping up in a different region, and they have much more of like a hipster young vibe to them. It's not like the place where you just sit and play bridge and learn how to do like the polka with your parents, you know, as it once was. So yeah, the area, I mean, these hotels, like the type of hotels that are depicted in the movie Dirty Dancing, like they're gone. I think, you know, there were many reasons for this, but, namely, like airfare became a lot more affordable. So families were like, well, we could go to the Catskills, but we could also go to Paris for not too much more money. And it just became so much easier to travel.
And it sounds like the hotel is also symbolic of societal change, as you mentioned, but also nostalgia, because, you know, there's, and you tell us more about this in the family dynamics there, but there are those that want to cling to the hotel and sort of the nostalgia and how things used to be. And the younger generation that's looking for something more contemporary.
Yes. So I think that, I mean, I have these two families that co-own it. The grandparents are the founders of the hotel, specifically the two husbands. And then, you know, they got married. And the grandmothers are in the picture now. And they're really wedded to tradition. They don't understand, you know, the idea of going on vacation only to photograph it for Instagram. They don't understand, like their taste in food, they were all about like these rich foods and the Catskills. These resorts were famous for these endless buffets, and I shouldn't really even say buffets. It was like just endless. You could have unlimited food. It was all you can eat included. So people would order like, I'll try the brisket and the chicken, and maybe, you know, I'll also, why don't you bring out the fish too, you know, and one of every dessert. And now people are so health conscious and they want everything to be locally sourced and farm to table and vegan options, vegetarian options, you know, gluten-free options. And the grandparents are like remembering the time when everyone would just eat like Danishes for breakfast without a problem. So that's, you know, an example of a clash.
So tell us a little bit more about how you examine age and generations of the families in your novel and how that impacts the way they view the hotel and the experiences that they expect at the hotel.
The grandparents are used to their way. They don't see the need for change. I mean, they're aware that the world is different. They haven't buried their heads in the sand, but I think they believe that their way is better. They know to attract younger people, they have to have different offerings, but they don't believe in those offerings. Like, they believe in a time where people didn't constantly check their phones and that they, you know, could sort of put work away for the weekend when they were there. And the younger generation doesn't even feel such a familial attachment. And they don't feel, until they get to the hotel for the week, and then the hotel is, the premise of the book is that the hotel receives an offer, a developer wants to buy the hotel and destroy the buildings, really just buy it for the land value and put up a casino, which actually happened at one of the big resorts in the Catskills. And there's a casino there now. And this brings the three generations back to the hotel. And the grandchildren are kind of like, oh, this is like ruining their weekend, their week plans. This is not what they want to do. They don't feel like being there. And they don't have much pride of ownership. But then when they get there and they suddenly realize that the hotel might not be part of their family anymore, they are feeling pangs of nostalgia and pride of ownership, and they want to bring their young, youthful energy and experience to revitalize the hotel. And so over the course of the week, there's talk of selling, there's talk of keeping, there's talk of modernizing. Then everybody in the book also has personal reasons that aren't even related to the hotel. Like there's a character in financial trouble that could really use that money. You know, there's a character that works at the hotel and maybe doesn't love the job, but if suddenly the hotel's not there, that means having to like reckon with his entire identity in life. So there's personal things at play for each of the characters as well.
You mentioned some of the things that have actually transpired over time in the Catskills. So I'm curious, what kind of research did you have to do for this novel?
I read a number of nonfiction books about the area, and I just talked to a ton of people who spent their summers there. I spoke to people in hospitality that were, you know, owners or managers or even just simply like waiters and busboys at these hotels when they were at their prime, and then even as they weren't at their prime. And I just collected a lot of stories, which were really great inspiration for the novel.
Well, besides being an entertaining story, what are some of the themes and perhaps takeaways that you have for readers here?
I think that there's a happy balance between looking back and moving forward. I would say that's probably the overarching theme of the book. That it doesn't have to be all one way or the other. Not one way is correct. And to go on vacation only to have like a million pictures for Snapchat and Instagram isn't the way forward. But the reality is that most people can't just divorce themselves for their jobs for 7 days and not look at their phones. And it's not even just about the pull of work, but it's also we're in a culture now where we need more stimulation than we used to. Like there's just constant entertainment around. People don't watch TV commercials anymore. Everything's on Netflix and you don't have to wait for Sunday morning for your favorite program to be on. And so you do have to provide, you know, more in the way of entertainment and constant activity and excitement for a vacation because that's what people are accustomed to. So I think that there really is just like, there's a happy medium, and finding the balance is really what the book is about.
Well, you've got some wonderful characters here, multi-generational, and there's a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, so I'm curious about your answer. But the question is, if you could spend a day in real life with one of the characters you created for this novel, who would it be and why?
Ah, I love that. So I really like this character, Phoebe, that I created. She's one of the grandchildren, and she's very underestimated because she seems kind of flippant, and she seems a bit vapid. She's an Instagram influencer, which to many people in the book doesn't seem like a real job. But in fact, she makes a lot of money doing what she loves to do, which is take pictures, and she has great ideas. And so she's got a lot of spark and a lot of spunk. And I think I like her so much because people underestimate her and she doesn't get discouraged. She is eager to prove them wrong. And I think she sees everything as an opportunity, and she would be a fun, interesting person to spend the day with.
Again, the novel is Last Summer at the Golden Hotel. It's by Alyssa Friedland. Alyssa, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you, and I appreciate you having me.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes, and you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.